Everyone wants to know more about the NHL's next stars. You've come to the right place. From the local arenas...
Jack Quinn has it! Fired! He scores! Ottawa ties the game in two!
Following up, slap shot, Flower! That's 6 points for Alexei Lafreniere!
To the World Juniors...
Tavares backhand towards the goal, loose puck, everybody scores! Tie game! Can you believe it?
Wow.
Works in. Beats Parsons, makes the stop. And the United States has won the gold medal in Montreal.
Here comes Thomas with a chance.
Moves it, but he scores! Akil Thomas has given Canada the lead. With less than 4 minutes to go in the third period.
To the draft stage and beyond.
The Edmonton Oilers would like to select with their first pick.
Toronto proud to announce.
The New York Rangers are proud to select.
Connor McDavid.
Austin Matthews.
Alexei Lafreniere.
Nick and Frankie are here to let you know what's up and say some things that make no sense along the way.
Montreal is, without a doubt, going to be contending for a cup in the next couple years, if not this season.
Why is your jersey blue and gray?
You're listening to the Hockey Prospect Report.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hockey Prospect Report. We are finally back after who knows how long, about a month, but...
A month off, then we had our Mount Rushmore, and then we had a week? No. 2 weeks? 3 weeks? We suck.
We really suck. It's been too long. We have taken some time off. We've had this and that going, and this going on over here, and it's just a multitude of things. And we took a little bit of a break, but we're back for the first preview of the 2021 NHL draft. I cannot wait because hockey's been back for a while and it's finally time to start talking about some prospects for this upcoming draft.
Well, so part of the reason that I wanted to actually do this for today's episode, Nick, I saw a tweet this morning that said that the Ottawa Senators are halfway through their season. And I'm like, oh my God, like, we are at the point that we're halfway through the regular season now for pretty much the entire North Division. And then I guess whoever had COVID problems is far behind still. But, you know, we're getting to that point where some of the bad teams around the league, New York Rangers, are probably starting to think about.
I mean,
you're probably starting to think about the draft. So teams like, you know, the Red Wings or. The Senators at this point, even though they're starting to turn it on a little bit and might actually make a push to the playoffs, as crazy as that sounds, you know, this is what we're looking at. Buffalo fans, I'll be honest with you, I don't think a single player in this draft is going to help you guys. You guys are so far gone. I don't know what to tell you. And I feel terrible for you, but hey, I mean, if you think that Owen Power can turn your franchise around, well, this is a good episode for you to listen to.
And enough with the Jack Eichel New York Rangers trade rumors. I'm so sick of it. I've seen so many stupid trade proposals that you've sent me and that I've seen online, and I'm over it.
Look, I saw one that was like Eichel Dahlin for like Shabbat and Tkachuk and 2 first-round picks, and it's like, what? Like, and then I saw a trade that was Carey Price to Buffalo for Jack Eichel. Or for Kyle Okposo and Skinner.
There was another one with like Lafreniere in a package for the
Yeah,
Rangers.
It's
I'm
I don't
just
know.
Like, what?
Buffalo, I haven't seen trades like that from any other fan base other than Sabres fans. And I'll be honest with you, right there. Sabres fans have to think of the wildest trades I've ever seen.
I don't know what to think about
that. Other than the guy that I saw in the Flames fan that was proposing a Sam Bennett for Sidney Crosby trade. That one was special.
I saw Sam Bennett to the Rangers, and that was a believable one. But, like, we got to chill, guys, okay?
Fan-made trades, they suck. Stop doing them. They make no sense. They never work. And, I mean, just saying, the guy who proposed this trade said that the Montreal Canadiens would be doing a cap dump if they traded Price for Okposo and Skinner. Despite the fact that they'd be taking on $4 million more. So, you know, that just about sums up where we're at here.
Are we aware of the definition of a cap dump?
No, but Carey Price's contract sucks.
David Clarkson was a cap dump. That's a cap dump. Okay. Nathan Horton was a cap dump. Ryan Callahan, who's retired, was a cap dump.
Is he? Okay. I thought he was still on LTIR.
Well, at the time.
We've missed a lot though. So, what? Sidney Crosby being traded, Eichel's being traded, Sam Bennett's being traded. We missed the whole saga with Tony D'Angelo. We missed a lot. We're not going to talk about it because you've heard a lot about it and you don't care here. What you want to know, you want to get to know Matt Berniers and Owen Power.
Exactly. We're talking some Michigan boys right now. We're looking at college guys. Now we're going to bring up a couple different points. We've kind of let the college guys play a bit after their World Junior stint. And the interesting thing about this year's draft is there's a lot of good players who are at a very, very big disadvantage because they're not playing right now. And a lot of these college guys, for instance, are, you know, who might have gone late in the first round if everyone's playing in a normal world. And now they're looking first overall.
I'm not going to suggest that Owen Power should go that low, but you know, like
later in the first round,
just looking at the discrepancies though, like just to bring this up now, Dauber Prospects has Matt Berniers ranked at number 16 right now. Elite Prospects has him ranked at number one. So the discrepancies that we're looking at in this draft, I think it's going to be insane. Assuming that this draft isn't delayed and it happens when it's supposed to happen, this is going to be fun. Like, I think we're going to see a lot of Igor Chinnikovs this time around. Just guys that come out of nowhere and shoot up a draft board because one team saw them three or four times in the season. Like, that's our guy. You know, we don't have anything else on anybody else that we thought we'd like. And the guys that we see that should go here, we don't. That's going to be interesting.
This is going to be one of the few seasons where the draft is going to be more situational in terms of teams picking who they want as opposed to best player on the board type thing. Just because some players are either A, not playing, they're at a disadvantage, or even just the skill level of some of these guys, which you'll hear in a bit.
Who is the best player available? Answer me that right away. Who is it?
I don't know. That's the thing. Exactly. I think it all depends on who's picking. That's what I'm saying. It's situational. I think it's going to depend on who's picking and what they need at that time. It's coming down to that.
Like, so right now, let's go to the Bob McKenzie list the NHL list is what I'm looking at here. Owen Power, number one, right? I'm not convinced that he's better than Brent Clark, but Brent Clark's not playing. Owen Power is. So like, there's your instant difference maker. That's tough. That's hard for Brent Clark to overcome. And I mean, he is playing, but he's not playing like in the OHL where he should be. He's playing overseas in like the Swiss league or something like that. You know, the competition just isn't where it's supposed to be.
Now, the players that we're going to go over in a bit here, without a doubt, are top prospects. No, in a normal world or a COVID world, whichever. Now, I think the thing that's working for them is obviously, you know, you look at Brant Clark, who's not playing in a normal situation. So it will affect his performance. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it'll help him. Who knows? But for the time being, I think Berniers and Owen Power are at an extreme advantage. But we have some mixed feelings about their play style.
Who do you want to start with?
I want to start off with Owen Power.
Okay.
Because I have a lot to say about him. Or you know what? Yeah, I want to start off with Owen Power.
Okay.
So Owen Power, and I'll start here. He's a massive defenseman. He's 6'6" or 6'5", whatever you look at. 6'5",
214.
Beside the point, the guy's huge. And he's you're picking him because he's a rock-solid defenseman. That's your, at least, impression of a big defenseman. That's usually like the stereotype with these bigger defensemen. But after watching his play style, after watching tape and you know, these shift by shift videos, I don't see the defensive play there. Now, before I knock him big time and say he's terrible in his own zone, which I'm not going to say, he is a phenomenal puck mover and a absolute top-tier defenseman in the offensive zone. I think he's great at moving the puck. But there are a lot of critiques I have with him. And I'm sure you can agree with me, as we discussed before.
Yeah, and where to begin on some of the critiques?
Well, let's talk about the good things first, because there are a lot of positives about him, right? So the first impressions about him, at least with his positives, are his ability to move the puck. I mean, he's, for his size and his ability to break the puck out of the zone and break into the zone, because he's very active with being up with the forwards breaking into the zone. More times than not, it's a forward breaking the puck from behind the net, and he's up in the neutral zone already. So, yeah. But he's good at that. I think he's really good with his stick, and he's good in the offensive zone too. But
I think for me too, like, I've watched him when he wants to skate, he can skate. Like, if there's a chance for him to break the puck into the offensive zone, he gets on his horse and he goes. I think he can be a really good skater. I also like his physicality. And then, as you said, I think his offensive zone play is like, it's solid. Like, he's an offensive defenseman, no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, if he was a forward, I think he'd be one of the favorite prospects in this draft for me. Where it falls apart is in his own zone. There's just too many times. Like, he's just kind of lazy from what I've seen. You know, when he is moving his feet, he's kind of flying around the zone aimlessly. I've seen him make passes out of his own zone that just go straight to the other team and give up a chance to score. There's one play in the game against Wisconsin that we've seen where he's the left defenseman in the situation, and he comes to the other defenseman's side of the ice, and you know, his partner makes a mistake, and it results in a scoring opportunity. Like, these are just the little things that we saw. I can't remember who we saw it with in last year's draft, but there was somebody that irked us on that, and we highlighted that as a red flag. This is the same deal. I just, for a number one overall pick, I do not think as a defenseman, his defensive zone play is anywhere near good enough to be in that number one spot.
Here's what I will say about him. And this is, as I've watched more tape, this is what I've kind of come to gather, is he uses his size in a different way, but in the right way as well, because you can either be that big physical guy, which he is. I think he could be more physical, but he is physical. But he uses his size to open up the ice for everyone else. He's not one that's going to sit back on the point most of the time or sit from behind the net and break out of the zone, because he does make a lot of mistakes like that, as you said. But with him skating with the forwards, breaking out of the zone in the neutral zone and always down low in the offensive zone, that big body pushes the other team back so much. And I think it just helps the team as a whole on offensive zone play. I mean, I can't compliment the guy enough on his offensive zone abilities and his ability to move the puck.
Here's my question for you,
though. Not only for his stick handling, but for that reason too, his ability to open up the ice for his teammates.
So here's my question. Can you see a world where Owen Power becomes a forward?
No, I cannot.
No.
Because if I envision him as a forward, I see him as that power forward to drive to the net. Right now, I don't see that happening because I don't think he's aggressive enough or has that edge yet to want to, or that grit, I guess, to get down low. I think that's the only way he succeeds as a forward. So for that reason, I don't think he would succeed as a forward, because that's my biggest issue with him, is he doesn't use his size to the best. He can use it in a defensive way. He uses it fantastically in an offensive way, but.
And that's where that whole question comes from. Cause remember we saw, 2011, we saw that experiment with Dustin Byfuglien being moved to be a forward for the Jets. That to me seems like the kind of thing that we might end up seeing with Owen Power at some point. Because to me, I think that he works harder when there's a chance to score. And that should be able to be corrected. I think if he can figure it out and give the effort he gives in the offensive zone and his own zone, he'll be fine defensively. But as we sit right now, I think he's more talented in the offensive zone than he is in his own zone. And I think that has a, like I said, it has a lot to do with his effort. So maybe you have to give him the opportunity to play in the offensive zone for him to reach his full potential.
But the difference with him and say Bufflin or even like Burns that happened or Brendan Smith is those guys are all willing to get down a nitty gritty right in front of the paint. I don't see Owen Power having that. I think he has great puck movement and great puck work around around the perimeter of the offensive zone. I've seen a couple of plays of him in the corner, and he's done a really good job at that and moving the puck towards the center with his passing abilities. But I don't see him as that guy who's going to bust his way into the middle and, you know, break open the house to get that puck into the back of the net. I don't see him as that guy. I think he just needs to work on he just needs to capitalize with his body. He could be so much better in the defensive zone. I think if he can add that extra like step to his game, like he'd be so much better.
Well, part of the reason why I think that he's poor in his own zone right now is because I think he has a combination that is literally deadly. He's out of position quite frequently and he has slow feet. And those two as a combination are literally the worst thing you could possibly have in a defenseman when it comes to playing in your own zone. If you're out of position, you don't have the foot speed to get back into position, you're in trouble. You're not going to make many plays. And that's the thing with him. When he's in position, he makes the play, right? There's many, 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 many times where there's a break-in and he's in the perfect position and there's no lane to get the puck to the middle of the ice. It forces a dump in or it forces a turnover. That is exactly what we're going to have to see from Owen Power going forward. If he wants to be the number one overall pick and he wants to stick to being a defenseman in the NHL and he wants to stick in the NHL, the problem is when he gets out of position, he doesn't have the foot speed right now to get back.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. That's perfect because, I mean, he has the IQ. He has the awareness. He makes really good plays. I mean, there was the one play in the offensive zone. He's in the corner and he's battling two other guys onto the puck. He's obviously using his size to shield the puck and he makes a great cross ice play on the power play, ends up in a goal at the end of it. But like, I think part of it that maybe isn't helping his case. Michigan is a powerhouse.
Could be.
Total wagon. Maybe. I don't know if this factors into it and he doesn't realize it, but he does have a really good team around him and he can rely on them a lot more as opposed to if he was on a team like Northeastern and he's, you know, maybe has to do a little bit more legwork himself. I'm sure that factors in a little bit, but at the end of the day, I think he just needs to work on his reactions, I guess, with getting down low in the defensive zone and making better defensive plays.
And to that point, you say reactions. I say anticipation as well. I think both of those things have to get better. If he can anticipate the play, he's really good.
That's the word. That's the word I was looking for. He's got it in the offensive zone. I mean, got it.
Except when he has the puck on the point. Then he loves to shoot it into the shin pads of the other
team. Yeah, oh my God. That was
that drives me insane. Thing, I hate it when he does that.
Gosh.
And that, like, to your point, exactly. That team is loaded. Like, trust your teammates a little bit more. Trust that they're going to make a play. Too many times I see him trying to be, you know, the hero with the puck on the point where he's trying to go bar down or he's trying to, you know, find a guy for a beautiful pass in the middle of the slot that's just not there. You know, that's how you give teams chances to win games against you. Like, just settle it down, make the easy play. Right now, it's just a little bit too fancy for me sometimes. But, like, that's the entire sheet of ice. Quiet it down, simplify the game a little bit, and I think Owen Power has the foundations to be a very good defenseman at the next level if he can do that.
Now, it's before we get into Beniers shortly here, it's going to sound like after our analysis that Beniers is like favored over Power, which I don't want it to sound like that because I'm 50-50, but I kind of lean towards Power being picked over Beniers because like there's a lot more to critique on Power as opposed to Beniers. But I kind of compare Power to Keandre Miller a little bit with their play styles and their size combined. And Miller kind of has it down. He's a lot stronger and he uses his skating to his advantage. And he's also just incredibly smart. I cannot emphasize that enough. And I think power could get to that point too.
Well, that's the thing. I went into this talking about Owen Power not really sold. And I think talking about his issues and kind of laying it all out there for him, I think it made me realize that the upside is so high. And I don't think that he's that far off from figuring it out. I think he's a good defensive coach away and a couple of years, either in college or in the American League away, from being, you know, a top four defenseman in the NHL. I don't think that's far off for him. That's unreasonable.
And he has more upside, I think, than Dahlin did. Like, there was a lot of hype on Dahlin, but I also think that was kind of a weak draft in a way.
Yeah.
But
if he can figure out how to be in the right position in his own zone, he will be a very, very good defenseman. And I don't think that's all that difficult.
And anticipation with plays, that is, it's not coachable, but it's 100% learnable. I mean, you can learn that. It's just with experience. That's one of those things. And he's going to get it. I know he is. And he's got potential to be a big time D man.
For me too, it does bother me that I can see that he works harder in the offensive zone than in his own zone. But to me, that also signifies that there's more to give in his own zone. And I expect that we're going to get that at some point. So where is he then? Is my question. How fast can he bust that out? How fast can he show that to scouts? How quickly can he get his defensive game caught up to his offensive game? And can he, period? If he can, let's go. I'd put him on my team.
I like him. He's even just throughout this discussion, he's grown on me. I think he's going to be, I think he'll be in that conversation still for number one overall pick.
Therapeutic, that one, you know?
It really was, because if you guys would have heard us before this recording, you'd have thought we hated the guy to bits. Like, he shouldn't even be in the discussion for top 10. I mean, like, but he has a lot of upside and a lot of positives, but he's got some things to work on, but they're 100% learnable and fixable. He can do it.
But I believe, like, I don't like falling in love with a guy just because of his size, but when he is as talented as he is, and he's got 6'5", 214, it's hard not to, you know, kind of anticipate that he's going to be pretty solid. I think this is a kind of a different situation from the Quinton Byfield one. I just, for whatever reason, I don't really like Quinton Byfield. But I think power to me is a little bit more intriguing, especially in a draft where nothing is certain, right? He's one of the only guys that has been playing all season. So it might not be an awful idea to take a good look at him for number one compared to a guy who might actually be a little bit better than him.
Well, if you're saying Beniers is that guy, let's talk about Beniers.
Yeah.
So Beniers is a little bit less discussion. He's very straightforward, but there are some things that I think I could point out that maybe he can work on, and then he'll be a solid top pick in the early picks.
Yeah.
Matthew Beniers is just one of those. He's one of them offensive guys with the hands and the foot speed and the agility. He's one of them. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, look what he's done in 22 games in his first year at Michigan too. It's 23 points in 22 games, 10 goals, 13 assists. He's a plus 20. Like, he's been really good.
Yeah. Beniers is he's one that you know when he's on the ice. So when you're watching a Michigan game, you can immediately pinpoint him because he's extremely fast. He has really good foot speed. And the number one positive about him is his stick handling. He's got a good poke check too.
Yeah.
Really good poke checking.
Well, you know what else goes his way? 6'1" center.
Yeah.
Tell me who's not looking for that.
That's a good size right there. I mean, that's like the perfect center. He could skate real well, and he's big. I mean, he's not big, but that's an ideal size for a center. A little bit bigger than ideal. Like,
I mean, just look at the size charts in the NHL, right? If you're 5'11", you're tiny. If you're 6', you're big. And if you're 6'1", you're an absolute giant. So, like, that's how they treat it. Like, to me, though, like you said, his stick handling is absolutely amazing. He's one of those players that I feel like you could replace the puck with an egg or something even softer, and he would be able to make it work. Like his hands, he's just so fluent and almost like gentle. It's almost like he's caressing the puck, if that makes any sense to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's like what you see in players like, that's why players like Crosby, McDavid, and Lafreniere succeed. Like Patrick Kane's another one. Like they're just very gentle on the puck, and you know, they got soft hands, and he's one of them. I think he's exactly one of them. But I mean, you see a lot of players who are kind of like wannabes like that. I mean, they're light on the puck, but like, you know, they're kind of just, what's the word I'm looking for? They're kind of all talk and no good. I mean, who's a good player I'm trying to think of? I got one on the tip of my tongue and I can't remember his name right now. Strongis, Antonio Strongis is a perfect example of that. He's like great with the hands. He's quick on his feet, but like it's just too much. Yeah. Anyways.
Well, I'm not trying to say either that he's a Patrick Kane, right? Like I don't know if we'll see Matthew Beniers go out with all those pucks on the ground and stick handle through them, but he has really good puck control. And I think that's where it really, like, that's the practical application, right? Nobody's going out in there for Patrick Kane and making him do that. Like, there's absolutely no practical situation where he's gonna have to stick handle through that many things at one time. When Matt Beniers goes into a corner and he gets into a puck battle, he can probably win it. If somebody's going to make a play on the puck on him, he's probably gonna be able to protect it. That's what I mean by his stick handling is really good. Really good at protecting the puck. One of the other things that I want to highlight with him too, it's actually kind of two things. His work ethic is really, really good. And by extension of that, his physicality, I think, is really impressive in his game too. There was one of the highlights we saw in, I think it was the second period of the Notre Dame game, where he goes into a corner and he makes a hit and it results in, you know, a giveaway and then a subsequent goal. So, you know, like guys like that are very, very important to your team.
He's persistent. He's always in the nitty gritty. He's just that pest who's got his stick always between your legs or underneath your stick, trying to bat at the puck. And that also adds on to his physicality, where he's just always in your face. He's very persistent. I can't think of a better word than that. I mean, he's never going to give up on trying to get the puck. And then when he has it, if you keep batting at him, he's always got his stick on the puck and he always has control of it. So the puck control is his biggest highlight. I do have one critique though.
Yeah. And I want to say too, I see where you're coming from with this, but I also think this one is kind of nitpicky in a way.
It is. I will give you that. It is. But I think if it's just this extra thing that can, it's not really critique. It's more so just improvement.
Way to elevate his game to really bring him over the top.
So the one thing I've noticed is in some plays where he's trying to break out of the zone, even when he doesn't have the puck, he needs to strengthen up his legs a little bit and get that straight line speed down, because there's a lot of times where he's putting all of his body into trying to skate down the ice and keep up with the play. And as a result, his stick is up most of the time. This is very little, but can make him that much better. This is why McDavid succeeds. This is why Crosby succeeds. This is why Patrick Kane succeeds, is because they have that strength in skating. So that way their legs can carry them the whole way and they can focus on keeping their stick on the ice and getting ready to take the puck. Now, there's a lot of reasons why those three players I just mentioned are successful. That's not just it. But if he can add that extra step into his game and strengthen up a little bit with his skating and be able to keep his head up more, and it gives him the ability to keep his head up more, more confidently, and keep his stick on the ice. And just you get that down and you got a nice offensive player right there.
Now, this is tough because I want to ask you this too. We keep in mind, for anyone listening to this, we have not yet looked at too many other guys. Nick, I don't know if you've looked at any others at all, kind of doing this as we go here. Where do you think Matt Beniers will likely go if you had to pick a range?
Like, top five.
We're looking at 1 to 16 between McKeans and Daubers, and I think – let me check here.
I think
– that's – so the lowest he's ranked right now is 18.
I think that's a little low for him. I think he's going to be discussion in the top five, guaranteed top 10, because I get it. He's a college player. Not many college guys go this high, but he has it. He definitely has that it factor, and he just needs that one or two elements to improve upon, and he's going to be a really good offensive player.
What do you think would have to happen for him to go number one? Like, would a certain team have to pick him there, do you think?
Yes and no. I see it, like, I see it being more situational this year, but I think in order for him to go number one, it definitely is going to be a team that has like zero offensive prospects. I mean, if a team like Detroit has number one,
but that's the thing that makes me wonder too.
I
can't even talk
about number one though, because I don't know if I can even get there with putting Beniers in the number one overall pick discussion.
Well, look, I can. I'll say that. Like, I think in this year is going to be so weird that I think legitimately anybody inside the top 10 could be the number one overall pick. In fact, I do also think anybody, like, we don't have a consensus first overall pick right now at all. You know, this time last year, we knew who was going to be picked first overall. We don't know. Nobody knows. Guys simply haven't been on the ice enough. We're still talking about Brent Clark. We're talking about Matt Beniers. We're talking about Owen Power. We're talking about a lot of guys.
I mean, we're looking at even, I don't know if you watch him, but Luke Hughes is another one.
Yep.
And if he's anything like his two brothers, he's another one that could go potentially over Beniers. So, like,
we got guys. If you remember where Atu Ratti started, or Atu Ratu, I think is how you pronounce his name. Remember where he started this season? Number one. Where's he at now? 10, according to Elite Prospects. We have a goalie sitting at number 5, according to Elite Prospects. Jesper Welderstat out of Sweden. So, you want to talk about an interesting season? Like, Brent Clark's playing over in Slovakia. Francesco Pinelli is supposed to be playing with the Kitchener Rangers. He's playing in Slovenia right now. Brennan Hoffman is playing in Switzerland. Like, guys are starting to slowly kind of get recalled back to their junior teams as the WHL is starting up and the QMJHL is continuing to kind of plow through COVID and stuff. We have nowhere close to – we've come nowhere close to deciding who's going where. Now, okay, here's the other thing, Nick. Here's what I didn't even think of. What happens if Seattle gets the first overall pick?
Ooh,
throws an entire wild card into it, because
now
if you're Seattle, right, you're starting your franchise. Do you decide, okay, I'm going to go get my franchise number one defenseman, potentially an Owen Power? Do you go out and pick up your franchise center in Matt Beniers, or do you like, as dumb as this sounds, what does this goalie look like out of Sweden?
I think that I don't think that will happen. I think they'll find a way to get someone. They'll get a good goalie without having to worry about that. Now, I think we're going to start to understand who they're going to lean towards, whether it be either Beniers or Power, or, you know, any of the other guys that we'll go over in later episodes, like Brent Clark or Luke Hughes or. But we'll start to see who they're going to lean towards as they build their team. Because expansion draft is the first thing to happen, no?
Yep. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the expansion draft is going to happen. And then you're going to see how they're going to be building their team coming into their first year. So I think we'll have an idea of who they're going to pick. It's going to be interesting if they get first round. I think it's going to be cool as heck. But
I want to quickly one more thing about Owen Power. The closer he gets to number 5, the more I like him. At number 1, I'm a little bit hesitant. But, Nick, if he was at number 5 and I was picking at 5, wouldn't even think twice. He'd be my pick. I think the closer down to five he goes, the more confident I am that he's the best player on the board.
I think it'll be a top five pick no matter what.
Yeah.
Honestly.
No, I agree. 100%.
He has so much upside. He'll be top five. Beniers, I think he's probably going to be a top five pick. Is there a chance he falls out? Yeah, but I still think he's...
Beniers ranked at three according to Elite Prospects, so...
Yeah, he's kind of like on that bubble, but I mean, like, we look at this year, this past draft. I mean, like, Lucas Raymond got a nice little promotion.
Where was Jack Quinn at the beginning of the year?
Marco Rossi fell big time. Not big time, but...
Which is ridiculous, yeah. But Jack Quinn started the season as I believe, a sixth-round pick. Yeah. So, to give you an idea of what that's like, 56 games took Jack Quinn from a sixth-round pick to what, an eighth overall pick, seventh overall pick? What can 24 games do for Brent Clark? What can 24 games do for Francesco Pinelli? What can 24 games do for Jack Mateer? Just to name a couple of guys.
And it's not like these guys are coming into this shortened, unusual season as no-namers. Like, you know, maybe you can give me some background on Quinn before him, but like Quinn's not coming into, correct me if I'm wrong, into last season as this, you know, highly touted player.
Well, he had his flashes in the previous season. I think he scored like eight goals or something like that. But, you know, he had the scoring ability. Like, I think we all knew that his shot was like solid sometimes. But nobody in their right mind woke up before the season and said, you know what, Jack Quinn's going to score 50 goals this year.
And that's it, is because the difference with this draft is some of these guys like Luke Hughes or Brant Clark or Kent Johnson, another guy out of Michigan, no one's looking at these guys and saying, okay, they're like, all right, and then they have a big month where they're unbelievable. We know these guys are good. The only difference is the guys we're talking about right now in college have the advantage of they've been playing.
Yeah.
Not only in some of them for World Juniors, but playing now. And then all of a sudden, these guys just get a short season under their belt. And now we're looking at first overall pick.
It really would not surprise me if a guy like Mason McTavish came out, was picked number 10 or number 12, something overall, and ends up being the best player in the draft. Like, he simply just hasn't had the chance this year to show that he's one of the top players in the draft. And I think he has that capability. But you never know. Like, especially for guys like that, that go towards the middle, you know, they're not going to be thrown into a situation with the Detroit Red Wings where there's nothing around them. You know, they're going to be thrown into a situation with maybe the Rangers or maybe the Islanders. Or, you know, one of those teams that's kind of, they have the pieces and maybe they're just a couple away, where if they get the chance to play with like a Matt Barzell or an Artemi Panarin, maybe they make a big difference. So, you know, those are the kind of guys that might be thanking that this happened if they can go to a decent team, get a spot and produce, because they might end up being the best players in the draft.
The college fan in me is so excited for the love these college guys are getting.
This is going to be fun. Players.
I cannot wait.
We are going to have to make our own draft rankings at some point. We didn't do that last year. We did mock drafts. We're going to do rankings this time around. We're starting way early.
I like it.
We'll be back every Tuesday and every Friday from here on out. We're holding ourselves to that one. Nick's face just dropped. He does not look excited.
No, I am excited because it's been a while since we've, you know, looked at prospects. I mean, we had a grind in December of World Juniors. We did a few things here and there in January just to kind of, I guess, conclude the HPR season, maybe. I don't know.
I guess maybe the start season two, episode one. I think that's what we'll do.
That kind of thing. Yeah. So like that's what we're looking into, because this is the first episode we're really looking towards the draft, and this is what gets me excited is talking.
Especially about as a Rangers fan, when the Rangers suck.
Okay, that's a discussion for another day. Like, I have so much to say and not say about the Rangers right now. Anywho, but the anticipation of talking about these prospects and just wondering where they will go while everyone's watching the NHL is just like, It's exciting. It really is. I love the hype.
I agree.
And we're going to help build that hype for you guys.
Yep. Look, I thought about the idea of today of having a website, but I decided that's a terrible idea. So what I will do is, if you are looking for written content about these draft eligibles, I shall refer you to the Hockey Writers. That's where you'll find my hockey stuff. I have been looking at Zach Dean, Connor Lockhart, and Mason McTavish. So those are the guys that I'll be looking at. I actually really like Zach Dean. I'll say that right now. Reminds me very much of Brendan Gallagher, who I love. So if you want some more draft content there, I believe we're coming out with that soon. So check that out.
Yep. And we'll be hopefully some new things in store for this season that'll look a little bit different for HPR. Maybe some different types of competitions, different prizes, that kind of thing. We'll see.
And last season, we kind of followed the draft order. But because this year it's so messy, we'll try to stick to guys who are actually on the ice right now. So we'll probably go with a couple more college guys, probably a couple more Michigan guys, because that's what the front of the draft is loaded with.
There's a lot of college games on right now that are being broadcasted. So watch them.
So we'll be back on Friday with two more guys, hopefully. And
I can't wait. I love talking about the topics.
You know what else comes out Friday morning? You know what happens Friday morning? Yeah. Testing. Formula One testing.
Oh my God, Formula One testing that has nothing to do with this podcast. But anyways, we're going to head out now. All right, guys. So yeah, that's going to do for today. We really hope you enjoyed that. And we hope you guys are excited as us for the 2021 draft. We're going to be, it's a long way away, but it's going to be here before we know it. And we're going to build up the hype. And we hope you guys are just as excited as us. So with that, we will see you guys Friday. And we will be talking more prospects. Follow us on social media on Facebook and Twitter. I haven't done this in a while. HPR_podcast on Twitter, HPR podcast on Facebook. Follow us on the socials. We'll be hyping up the draft all the time on there, sharing some videos, that kind of stuff. So follow us on there. As Frankie said, follow the Hockey Writers for more draft content. Does that about do it, Frankie?
That does about do it.
All right, guys. We'll see you Friday. Thank you for listening, as always. See ya.